Hello and welcome to Tabletop Game Talk On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop gaming topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
I'm Kitty.
And I'm Chris.
Today we're talking about gaming at work. How can you start up a gaming group at work? What about group size, game size, time, and of course work policies? Sure, you need to get your work done, but that doesn't mean you can't take a break now and again to have some fun.
But first, as always, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jewel-Jam, George, Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC. And a huge thank you to all of our other patrons as well. Okay. This is take two. We almost never do a take two.
Reading.
You said your name was Chris, didn't you, Kitty?
See, the point of restarting was no one was supposed to know that.
No, I'm actually going to just edit that in right now. Right, pause.
I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
I'm Chris. Ah. Let's just start again.
Okay, that was just edited in now.
Love it.
Turns out that, so our old intro, because we were sitting in a different arrangement or something, it was always, I'm Josh, I'm Chris, I don't know what it was. You always,
I don't know.
You always came last. I don't know what it is.
It's okay.
I'm very tired. I have a six-month-old baby. That's all I can say.
The words are right next to each other on the page. I don't know.
They're both blue.
You've only been Kitty for a couple, I don't know, years now. So it's
31.
30.
Uh-huh. 31 of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've ever shared your age before.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Shoot. Now we need to do more editing.
Yeah. All right. So today we're talking about gaming at work, which I think is a great topic. And you guys are like, wait a minute, you get to game at work?
Well, my coworkers are a 6-month-old baby and a dog. So I don't get a lot of gaming in unless it is of the solo variety.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. But do you actually solo game? I would solo game if I had a baby and a dog.
Once maybe my house is unpacked and I'm actually moved in and I have time during a nap, yeah, I would totally solo game. But for now, I have that moment and I look around, I'm like, oh, I should unpack a box or, you know, use this moment to take a shower, because those are sometimes few and far between.
Well, but Chris also was trying to say that you used to game with your other colleagues at your previous work.
I didn't game with my colleagues. So I used to work at a park where I would occasionally play games with kids or with senior citizens, where we would play Clue or Candyland with the kids, or I would play Bingo, Pokino, fun games like that with the seniors, but nothing that I would think, oh, I want to play this game.
Right.
But it had to have been a little bit more fun though than...
It was definitely more fun than sitting at a desk and doing, because I also had to do, you know, curriculum planning and that kind of stuff. And those days, not as much fun as the days where I get to sit down and play games, no matter, you know, the pressure of being in charge in those moments, you can kind of forget and game a little bit yourself.
All right. So we won't talk about getting paid to teach games then. We'll talk about meeting people to play games at work. Now, Josh, you've never played games at work.
No, I haven't. I just, you know, it hasn't happened. I mean, I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I know in the UK, we drink a lot with our coworkers. And I know that's a little bit frowned upon in the US. It seems to be. I mean,
not in my industry.
Not in your industry. And maybe it's industry by industry. But I don't know. Americans just often seem to be like, why would you drink with your colleagues? I'm like, but in the UK, we all do it. It's weird.
Okay. But you definitely don't play games with your colleagues either.
Just drinking games.
I think it might be your industry is very gaming friendly as well. You are in the tech world, which is very much, I think a lot of the offices are like, we've got a very fun, laid back atmosphere here. We have all open concept offices. We have employee ping pong tables and lounges and that kind of stuff.
We don't have a ping pong table. It's a foosball table.
I've seen offices with ping pong tables. Well, I've seen all kinds of stuff in these offices because Spencer is in an adjacent industry.
And in Groupon, where I used to work, they did have a gaming room and people did play games. I just wasn't in the type of team that wanted to play games.
So, were they playing board games then?
They were. They were all board games. There was Dixit was in there and some other things.
So you had the opportunity to play games at work. Well, you're like, oh, those nerds.
No, I'm a huge nerd. My team was not that way. I was the only nerd out of them. Well, Towards the end, there was probably another one. It just never happened.
So basically, you felt like, well, they're playing games, and that would be cool to do if my team invited me to do it, or if it's something the team did. Yeah. But just walking in and saying, "Hey, what are you guys doing? I'm this random British guy that works over here." Yes.
That was a bit weird. That would have been a bit weird. I need more drinks. This is why we all drink in the UK before we have the courage to do those sorts of things.
So I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about the atmosphere at my place of employment, which is about as laid back as you get. We drink and play games and have a foosball table, and there's lots of chips and stuff. And
do
it
you
is,
have a nap room?
Not really. Okay. I wish.
I've heard about these like corporate nap rooms, and I want to find one in the wild.
Yeah, I wanted a designated one. At Groupon, there was lots of like open spaces with huge beanbags on, and they weren't really nap rooms, but lots of people decided they were.
Sydney's last job, she had a nap room, so I went and visited there, and they actually had beer on tap on Fridays.
Oh,
they
my
would put,
goodness.
They had like two different kegs or something they would tap, but they had a nap room also with like a hanging hammocks, like a single chair hammock, and you put your feet up and you just kind of nap. Very and you cool. had curtains and stuff. So I could imagine that would be an office to play games as
and,
well.
And she did, and, as I recall.
Yes, actually she did. She would have a game set up between her and one of her coworkers, a really good friend of ours, Paul. Hi, Paul. I think he's a listener still. he's the one that gets really salty whenever I beat him in something, so he's fine. But they would play a game. They would like play a turn-based two-player game between the two of them. And they would take a turn, and they would just basically pass a coin back and forth so you know whose turn it was. And it would just be played over a matter of hours or days, depending on whatever the game is.
I like that.
So there were a couple different ones. They played Holmes, which is the Sherlock Holmes two-player clue gathering game, as their primary game. They try playing Homeworlds, but Homeworlds is kind of a tricky one if one person's really good and the other person's not as good.
It's one of those games where if one person has spent a lot of time playing already, there's so much catch up. And I can imagine that would be very difficult in a game that takes a long time to play, where you're not seeing each move made.
Yeah, but it's very similar. Like if you were to put a chessboard on an office table someplace, you know, or on your office desk, and you just always had a chess game set up, there's not a lot of offices that would frown upon that.
Yes.
Because chess has become one of these things, and not become, it just is one of these things that it's almost an art set. You know, and if the pieces are moving, if you're playing a game of chess with someone else in the office and you take your turn and then, you know, a few hours later, the other person's taking their turn, it becomes something that looks, you know, can be very nice and classy on your desk.
I was going to say, like, chess has a prestige about it. It's like the intellectual's game. It's a very like, oh, we're a smart office. Absolutely. We're thinking people here. We play chess. Yeah. It's got that kind of reputation that, you know, a classic game like that, you know, talking back in our ancient games episode, it's been around for long enough that, you know, no one can really knock it down.
Yeah. Well, and it's very different than having something like Warhammer 40K set up on your desk.
Yes.
You mean three desks?
On your three desks, building the terrain and things like that. So really what we're getting at is it sort of depends. Like, you can game at work. I think you can game in just about any job. It's just a matter of having the right game for what you're doing, and just sort of also just deciding whether or not it's worth it playing at work, right?
So are we talking specifically gaming at work, or are we talking about gaming with people from work, or a little bit of both?
I think both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so what I've been doing at my current job, actually, which is the job I've been working at for 8 years and plan on working at for a long, long time. I really love my job. But what I've decided to do is I'm going to start a board game night at work. This is really, really not as easy as it sounds. But I think that's kind of the same for like, I want to start a board game group, or I want to, you know, I need to find a group or whatever. Like, it's the same challenge. I'm just trying to say, okay, at work, I know there are people that like games. And pretty much everyone knows I do a podcast on games. And I'm like, you know, we're always kind of talking, like, oh, I like games too. Me too. Have you tried this game? You're always talking like that. And then when it comes down to it, it's like, oh, yeah, I play a game. Like, if you set up a time, I'll come play a game. I'm like, great. So you do that. It's like, oh, well, I'm busy that day. Well, I don't have time for that. Next week, I'm going to be there, though. And it becomes this thing where it's like, okay, I really, really want this to work because I really want to do an entire podcast on it. So how do I get this to work?
Means to an end. No, you like playing games at work.
This topic, I don't know if you've ever like looked at the backlog of topics at the bottom of our page. It has been on here for like a year.
Oh,
that Chris has been waiting to talk about.
Yeah, right.
Well, because I don't like talking about things that I don't know anything about.
But you had done gaming at work for a while. I mean, I heard about the D&D sessions that went down at your workplace. It was famous.
All right.
Infamous, maybe.
So let's go way back.
Okay.
Way back.
Ooh.
So this was
4 billion years ago.
When
the Earth was first formed.
And
there was
and
a
molten
chessboard.
Lava. Yes. They're like, huh, this looks classy.
Yeah. Where's my top hat?
So maybe not that far. Let's fast forward a few billion years.
Right.
But a friend of mine says, I hear you play D&D. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, I used to play D&D when I was a teenager. If I got a group together, would you be willing to run it? And I'm like, absolutely. I didn't have to do the work. He was going to do and get all the work together. So we did.
Yeah, you would just run a game. That's
I just
not
run
work
the game.
At all.
Yeah.
That part's
easy peasy.
That part's the easy part. Getting people to show up is the tricky part, as we'll find out. But so he set up the group and he's like, okay, these are the number of people who are playing. And suddenly it became like four people. I'm like, oh, four people is great. Perfect number. 5, 6, 7, 8 people. I think there was 8 people in that group. It wasn't as bad as 6 months later. So I ran the group and it was great. We played, I think, every Thursday night we would play and we'd play for 2 hours. And what we did to get people to come and it worked is there was going to be pizza and there was going to be beer.
Nice.
Because we're at work. Let's get some pizza, beer, and play D&D. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Now, our office is pretty, it's a pretty laid back office, but all of our offices are glass. So you can see into any of the conference rooms.
Right.
And the office is an open office space, but the conference room are just like all glass. So we would set up and people would like kind of tuck their heads. It's like, are you guys, what are you doing? We're like, oh, we're playing Dungeons & Dragons. Want to join us? And we actually had a number of people join in. We had people that had never played before. It's like, oh, yeah, you should try it out. So we actually ended up getting a nice stable
group. How did that
work?
They pop their head and join us. And they're like, okay, you're a dark elf.
Pretty much.
And go.
I can improv anything.
That's awesome.
You don't even need a character sheet. And you'll be sitting and you'll be playing D&D.
Good work, Chris.
And it'll be totally legit.
Nice.
But it was sort of fun because especially with the people that never played before, like, this is a half orc thief or something, and goblins are attacking the tavern because that's what you start with. And she goes out and she's like, well, what, why are they attacking? And then she goes over and she makes friends with one of the goblins, and because she's just like, I just want to know what your motivation is. Why are you here?
Pacifist that we all know and love.
It was amazing. And there was other people at the table that had played before. It's like, just roll the 20-sided die. You just swing your sword at them. And I never was like, no, that's not what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's doing this, and this is what's happening in reaction to that. So it was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of laughter and a lot of fun to be had. I think actually a D&D group is probably one of the easiest things to start at work because you do have that fun and social thing that you can bring people into.
It's also very easy to teach the rules at the table while you play.
Yes.
Okay. Especially if you have pre-made characters or if you give them the homework of read this, make your character. We'll go over it a little bit. But really, once you sit down at the table with your character, it's so easy to, okay, now all you have to do is roll this. Tell me what the number is. Okay, this is what happens. And it's very right. straightforward. Whereas a game like, I can't, any other games.
Your games that we're talking about.
Power Grid.
Power Grid. Well, Power Grid even, it's not that hard to explain. It's very hard to understand, though. Yeah. But even then, it's like, we're going to take 20 minutes to sit down and just talk about the rules before we even start playing the game.
Yeah,
right.
It's not the same.
I get what you're
Somebody
saying.
Pokes their head in and says, oh, I want to play. Okay, well, you're going to have to wait 45 minutes for us to finish this game, and then we're going to have to re-explain the rules for another 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing you do with D&D. Someone pokes their head in. It's like, oh, yeah, I played that before. It's like, you have it? 45 minutes, you can sit down and play right now. Because in a D&D game, you can immediately just incorporate them in.
Right.
You run up the street, and now suddenly you're watching a half-orc debate with a goblin.
And an elf falls out of the tree. Here we are in this situation.
So it makes it, it's very fluid. And I think the key here is something that's easy to teach, easy to learn. You just hit the ground running.
Yep.
For a new group.
So that was my D&D group. Eventually, my campaign ended, and the person who got the group together, also, hi, Matt. I'm pretty sure Matt listens, too. he and actually Rudy Liu, right. One of our patrons, they got together and decided to co-DM the next time. Like, I'm more than happy to play. I almost never get to play D&D. I'm always running it. So they co-DM. Now, Matt is a creative director. Like, he creates art. And Rudy's a project manager, so he makes sure, well, now he's an engagement director, but he's a project manager, so he makes sure everything is running smoothly. So Rudy was going to take the combat side of things, and Matt's going to take the basically story side of stuff. Yeah. They blew my performance out of the water. Like, and nice. Not only that, there were 12 players at their table.
Oh my goodness. 12
players. Like, you needed two DMs to manage it. Everybody was engaged. Like, we didn't have a lot of stage time in it at any given point because there's so many people, but everyone was engaged. We have our meeting room. We have a big TV on the back wall, and there'd be like images and music up there, and it's like totally prepared. It was an ordeal that like wow. Everyone looked forward to that night going in and playing. So that has since moved to, they are now playing a Roll20 because Matt moved out of state. He still works for us. He just works at a different, you know, remote. And now he has a group that he plays on Roll20. And it's all started from that group of D&D at work, which is what made me think of, like, we have a lot of stories like that that we've got input on. And I think that there's so much potential with that group. You know, I have some pros and cons because that's what I've been doing on notes lately, just because. And the first one, which is not a real sentence, but there are people you see every day. That's a pro. I'm calling that a pro.
I think you mean they are people you see every day.
Whatever.
So there are people you see every day.
Yes.
I think it's a con.
Yeah.
As a table flipper myself, or perhaps a reformed table flipper, it would be really hard for me if I got into kind of a sticky situation at a game to then realize, like, oh, I just screamed at my boss. Or, well, like, okay. I screamed at the person I'm going to have to bump into 15 times a day and send emails to and make contact with, whatever it is.
All right. I'll give you that. I will give you that if you want to yell at people, it's probably not the best place. If you just want a built-in group of people that have similar interests.
Captive audience.
Yes. And maybe you have that relationship with your coworkers.
Like, it's true.
You know, a lot of us, like, once you've worked with your coworkers long enough, they're your people you see more than anyone else.
Yeah. I was going to say, honestly, when I worked at the park, my coworkers, I probably would feel more comfortable yelling at them than trying to get them to play a game.
Right.
Because they just were not that kind of people. They weren't, you know, interested. And some of them, maybe individually, I could have gotten them to play certain kinds of games. But as a group, trying to get them all to play together would have been very difficult because I worked in a very small group. There were 7 of us all together. So yeah, I could maybe get 2 people to play the same kind of game, but it was going to be really tricky to try to get an actual gaming group going because I'd really need everybody to be a part of it.
Right.
Which is unlikely to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually kind of convenient to have these people that you know their interests, you know their personalities, you know that maybe they would be interested in the same thing you're in. And the cool thing there is, if just one of them is interested, they will get another person there and another person. And before you know it, you have a group.
So how many people work in your office?
More than a dog and a baby, but there are about, in the entire office, probably about 200, 150 to 200. None of them are always there, though.
And how many people come generally to you?
On any given day, to a game night?
To a game night.
So game night, and this is where we're getting to, okay. In all fairness, it completely depends. Yeah. We've had a group as small as like 2 people, uh-huh. Me and one other person was like, well, let's play this game anyway. You can play fine with here. We've had, I want to say 8 or 9.
Was the big one
for board games.
So that's still a tiny percentage of the people you work with.
Yes. And you have to think about it too. Like, if you look at like population of gamers out there, that's probably still, you know, we're talking 10%. Well, actually a little less, than 10% of the office.
It's more like 5% of your office.
So, and really I'm going to say 100 people because it's as any given day, there's no more than 100
people there. There's about 100 people in your office.
But 5 to 10%.
5 to 10%. So, you know, when you're in a smaller office, 5 to 10% might be a fifth of a person.
But let's look at this a different way. the people that I game with, I see them more often. So this is like the group of people I see on a very regular basis. And of that percentage, I would say about 25% on that 9-person day were there. So it sort of depends. Like I said, it's kind of a word of mouth, get people to come in, get people to be comfortable type of situation.
Yeah.
So now, Josh, you, like you said, you were not comfortable walking into a room of somebody playing games. What if you saw someone playing D&D? Was that something that you might get a little closer to? Or like you see a role-playing game and like, yeah, maybe I'll just go observe and see what they're doing over here.
Could do. Yeah. I mean, I haven't played many sessions of D&D. I always enjoyed it when I did because I like theater and acting and I like story time. So I could see myself like inserting myself into that situation and being like, oh, but there's a, you know, gallant knight that's just walked in and he's ready to talk your ear off about the queen's whatever. So, yeah, you know, could have.
Not the queen's whatever.
The queen's whatever.
Yeah, the queen's whatever, yeah. You wouldn't believe it.
All right, well, there's a couple of people that I want to talk about that left us really cool stories. Let's see. Corey, we game at my office daily on our lunch breaks. This started out with a core of 3 gamers who knew Seven Wonders and a link to watch it played video for 3 others. We played Seven Wonders weekly at first on Fridays, then eventually daily. Now, he goes on, there's this actually, the story gets cooler. I think that's actually kind of important to have that core group that you grow. Now, Seven Wonders is a very, very simple game to play. It's really quick. It's really easy. As once you've played it once or twice, you can play that game in a half hour, regardless of the size, because it's simultaneous turns, and you're just dealing with cards and drafting. So you can actually play it very quickly. Now, doing it every single day, kudos. That's all I have to say on that.
Because you'll burn out on the game?
No, because I think that keeping a group together, like I would look forward to lunch. If I knew that it's like, okay, grab my sandwich. We're sitting down and playing Seven Wonders. That would be like awesome, like every day at lunch. Unfortunately, I can't do that.
Right.
I'm off, whether it's meetings or different times or something like that. But many of the people at my office could do that if they wanted to get together.
Yeah.
He goes on, once I showed them One Night Ultimate Werewolf, it pretty much infected the whole office. That game is such a wonder to simply watch others play that it drew in more and more people, and eventually that led me to starting a game night. So this is where I think if you really want to like bring people in and say there's fun, do something that's fun on the outside looking in. And One Night Werewolf is one of those things where it's like, okay, everyone's eyes are closed. And then you're watching people, especially if you're spectating, someone's opened up and the troublemaker is switching to things. And the seer is taking a look at things. And the werewolf is whatever doing the werewolf does. I think, does the werewolf do anything in One Night Werewolf? But anyway, all of these different things are happening. And the spectators know what's going on. And then the people wake up and they just start accusing each other. And you're just there, oh my God, this is so much fun. What's going to happen? It's like this reality show at lunch, at the lunch table. So yeah, I you look skeptical, Kitty.
Well, you know my feelings about social deduction games, but they are really fun games, and they're also really quick games generally, or at least the one night variant is something where, you know, during the lunch period you can do, oh, we're going to play one round, and then, you know, you have 4 people who came in and started watching while you were playing. Okay, we have another time to go one real quick again. And then we, you know, and then if they started their lunch later, then you can leave the game with them and it can keep going without the initial group there even. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, you guys have both played Deception, right? Murder at Hong Kong.
Yes.
With the weapons and the clues.
Right.
You didn't mind that one.
Oh, I like that because it's more deduction, less social.
Right.
And I really loved the clue giving mechanic where you're trying. I love trying to use the descriptors, the way that it happens. It's a fun one and it's less accusatory, less, aha, I got you this time. I don't know.
But it's still a fun one to watch, especially if you know who the murderer is and you're trying to like, because as the clue giver, you know who the killer is, but you can't tell anybody besides just putting down these bullets by these little descriptive words. And if you're watching that and you know what's going on, that's another one that can bring people in. It also can play very quickly and you can, that scales with the expansion, I think it scales up to 14 people.
I would put Burke's Gambit in that same category where it's enough of a social deduction where it's still fun to watch, but with enough actual deduction that it doesn't bother me. It doesn't feel just like kind of blind accusations to me. So that one was really fun. At first, I didn't like it because I felt like Chris called me out the first time we played it. But last year, we played it at Gamehole Con, and I had this moment where me and the other person who was also a bad guy looked at each other, and we both just deadpan lied to everyone else at the table, and it was so much fun. And I can imagine that if you had seen us flip those cards and you knew that that was about to happen, that would be a pretty fun one to watch as well. And it is also a really quick one. Small box, yep. Easy to transport. I'd put that on my games I'd play at work if I went to work.
Yep. You don't necessarily need to use social deduction games, but social games.
Yes.
You know, and that's where, like, Murder and Burke's Gambit, there's some deduction in there, but they're far more social games than they are, like, accusatory type of things. Because that can not go over well in a workplace sometimes, too.
I would also say games that are too social, that would fall more under the party games category, can maybe create a problem, because a lot of them, I feel like, are not always very PC or safe right. for work.
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity at work is probably a tricky one. There's a slippery slope depending on the
workplace. I'd say no.
Yeah. Well, it really just depends on the workplace, but it's probably something to shy away from if you're not a startup.
If you have an HR department, you should not be playing Cards Against Humanity at work. That's going to be my rule of thumb.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. So Corey goes on, he's like, so his game nights turned into, or his game days turned into game nights. So he's like, our work game nights are kind of a big deal now. What we do is that I host it at my house, probably not the way to do it for everybody, but it works for him. And they hold it every 2 months. So it's basically an event. Missing one feels like a sad thing, and it gives us all something to look forward to all the week leading up to the first Saturday of an even-numbered month. So if anyone wants to go to Corey's house, first Saturday, even-numbered month. And I think that's great. So essentially, this is another one where it's like you start this group at work, and then you're able to take it outside of work, and you make it something more. And I've already said it, but you are seeing these people so often, you should be friends with them as much as possible. Or, you know, maybe if you really don't like your coworkers, I guess you can not want to hang out with them.
Well, I think you might be in an interesting position because you are kind of senior. You both in the fact that you've been there a long time and in the company, your position. So you feel fairly confident in your place there. Whereas maybe somebody who's new to a company, if like it'd be a lot harder for them to bring something like this to the table.
And that's how I felt in Groupon. It was just kind of like, I'm the new guy. This kind of feels weird, me suggesting this, and no one else in my team was. So I was like, yeah, I'll just leave this one. We'll see.
Well, if you're the new guy,
okay,
and you see somebody playing a game, just ask one of the people on your team saying, hey, what are they doing in there? Can you introduce me maybe? It's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, it's an icebreaker, right?
Yeah, but you might get the like, oh, those weirdos. And then you're like, well, no, I'm just not going to fit on this team. You know, it's a tricky situation to navigate. Yeah. As somebody who's not always the best at social situations, I tend to overthink and get anxious about things. Mm-hmm. So I worry about that kind of stuff. Like, am I just opening myself up to like, oh, you're that kind of person, especially right. in a situation where I'm new, I'm trying to make new friends. And, you know, it might set me back to initiate something like this. Whereas I would love if somebody else at the company already had started it and can be like, oh, I would love to join this established group. And that's where I think these social games are really good, because if somebody's playing a game where it's a two-player game at lunch, approaching them can feel like you're interrupting them.
Yeah. Yes. It can feel like a closed group, like the Finer Things Club from the American Office, where no one else is allowed but the people involved.
Well, I think it's okay if somebody's playing a game in the open. If you go over and just kind of stand there and watch for a little bit, I don't think anyone's going to get offended. I mean, they are playing someplace in the open, right? So don't, even if you're shy, you can be like standing against the wall, just kind of like peeking over and see if they give you an invite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I just like am imagining it's a great time to make a suggestion for what move they should make. Like, I don't know. There's like this devil on my shoulders to like give the bad advice.
Oh, it's probably a good thing you don't have coworkers anymore.
My coworkers are great.
They are pretty good. So, but you did mention like, yes, I'm higher up. So I'm basically, well, I'm a director. So I says that's the manager of the managers type of level. If you're looking at that down, one of the things I do, and one of the reasons why I want to do the game night is because I actually don't like that tiered system of you can only hang out with people in your tier.
Right.
So this for me was a way of saying, let's have a group where everybody can come together, play together as people where, you know, position doesn't matter.
Right.
Like when we're playing a game, it's just, we're playing that game. We're people playing a game. And that actually comes through. Like if you're a manager and you're listening, this is the best way to get people to be honest with you about whatever they're feeling or doing. Because I've created a system where, not a system, but like an environment where people are comfortable talking to me, whether we're playing a game or work or whatever. So if there's something going on, they'll come and they'll tell me outside of the game related thing, but they'll also come and talk to me about games. They'll come to talk to me about pretty much anything. And that's important when you're trying to manage a group of people and you're asking them to do a lot of things, or maybe you're asking them to work extra time. Having that relationship there can't be underestimated. Like, yes, it's great to say, I'm the boss, do what I say, but you're going to get a lot better performance out of people who actually like
you. And Chris's 10 tips for management will be hitting the New York's bestseller list very soon. No, but that was a good point.
If you feel like somebody is intimidated by you as a manager, do you let them win so they feel more comfortable?
Oh, no, no, no. I beat them down. But as you know,
whenever he doesn't do that with anyone. He pretends he doesn't care about winning, but he really does.
Whenever I
think
I've
gotten him to admit more and more that he likes to win.
I think so.
It's all a lie.
I'd like to win. But whenever I win, it's usually by accident. So
lies again. Absolute lies.
I mean, I play it up, whatever. I lost at Viticulture. I had to leave like just before the last turn to catch the last train to home. Otherwise, I'd have been sleeping on a couch again. But I live really far away. And if I miss that train, I don't get home. So I texted them like, did I win? Because I was in the lead when I left. And apparently I didn't even place. But it's not my fault. They cheated. Obviously wasn't there.
Obviously.
But it was. I do actually stand by that, though. I think that a gaming group at work is going to build a bond beyond what you would normally do at work. You know, and if you can bring it outside of that workplace, that's great too. Steven mentioned something.
I was just going to get to this.
Oh, then you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Steven says, I got into this hobby almost 2 years ago from a game night at work. I had someone shadowing me at work and I was into video games and liked board games, but nothing deep or designer, though I was curious. Then one day we talked about getting together after work and playing a game called Terra Mystica with another associate at work. And since that game night, I have been hooked. Since then, I started purchasing games. And a few months later, we started the game group that meets up every week after work, as well as play a lot during lunch breaks as well.
See, this is another thing where it's like, don't be afraid to say that you like games. There was a number of people that I work with now that, you know, I would have never thought that they were into games. And then, but I'm not shy about anything. So, like, oh, I have a podcast on board games. I tell everybody this. I basically wear a shirt that says it. Although I actually have never worn our tabletop game talk shirt to work. I should.
I make Spencer wear it to his work for me.
That's good. I like that. But yeah, sometimes like it'll just come up in conversation and you'll find out that you have a lot more in common with this person than you thought. Hey, Jen, we need to play more games together, by the way. She also listens. What? But like, I would have never known that she was into games had I not brought up. It's like, oh, I really like this game. And you can start out with saying simple things like, oh, I really like Catan or Splendor, or maybe not. It's you're not your favorite current game, but it's a game that other people are likely to hear of. And then they can up that to, oh, but also, have you ever tried Power Grid?
It's a game you'd like to play still.
Yeah.
Don't throw out a game like, oh, I liked playing this game before, but I don't play it anymore. If you're throwing out a game, make sure it's something you're willing to play, not just once, but a few times.
Yeah.
And Splendor is really fun.
Splendor is really fun, and it's super easy to learn, and it's a great, great game to, like, just, hey, we only have four people, let's play this game.
Anne has a whole list here of games that from her collection, 30 to 45 minutes, and don't take up too much table space. And her top game was what I was going to mention is Century Spice Road. It's a fun one.
Yep.
Doesn't take up too much table space. Super easy to teach and learn. And it's a cool looking game on the table. So people want to come by and say, what's that?
Yeah. Especially if you have the playmat or the Golem Edition or the Golem Edition with the playmat.
So much fun with the crystals.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking now it's Santorini.
Santorini.
That would be a good one to have on your desk. And then people be like, what is that? Because it's all 3D and the pieces are so gorgeous. Yeah. And then you could just start playing with them. Because you'd be like, well, let's have a game.
That's a great lunchtime game as well. Because it plays two, but it also plays three really well. And I think if you want to start a group, you want three.
Right.
You want three people because three people makes a group. Two people is just two people sitting in a corner playing a game with each other. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not super inviting.
You're right. Santorini's a three player. I like that.
It's actually four players if you want it to be. I haven't...
I don't think we've ever played four players.
I've never played four player. I think there's like some special rules to it or something.
That board would probably get crowded.
That's why I think there's a special rule with four.
There's got to be.
I should look into it. But the box does say 2 to 4.
There you go.
Let's see. Anne mentions a few others. Splendor, Seven Wonders, Alhambra. That was kind of fun. You build... I believe it's the one I'm thinking about. It's a tile laying game where you're trying to build walls. I know. It sounds...
Guillotine.
It's
a fun one.
Yeah. This one is you're basically trying to not... Or kill the French Revolutionary.
I think you're trying to get the most... points by beheading the right people.
Yep.
If I recall, I haven't played in a long time. That's a game I've had for a while.
Yeah, and there's a lot that's of a the newer abstracts too, like Sagrada, which is I think that's the making glass windows. I want to say.
Oh, I've heard of this, and I really want to play. It sounds like something me and Sydney should play.
Or we can do it at Gen Con.
Yes.
Let's get that done.
I was thinking I would love to play like a. Type yard type game in the office, which would be impossible. Like I want to play Can Jam in the office or Bags, but actually Jenga, I know it's more of a dexterity game, but that's kind of the same kind of feel. I could have a set of Jenga on my desk and people could play with me on that.
Yeah,
that one's fun because seriously, every time somebody stops by your desk to play, they can, or stops by to talk to you, they can just move one piece.
Yes.
It's yeah.
I will caution though, when it falls down, especially if you're in an open office space, people would be like, hopefully everyone in the office just yells Jenga. But
somebody's on an important phone call and the entire office goes Jenga, it might not be the best.
That's true. But you're still in the dexterity games are not necessarily bad because they're very easy to do. They're very inviting.
Yeah.
You need to figure out some dexterity games at work. Like Flick 'em Up is a great table presence, but it's kind of hard to keep that set up.
I forget the name of this game every time I try to talk about it.
Is it
my phone's
pick
dead.
Up sticks?
No.
Describe it to us.
Suspend. It's like the wire. Yes. There's like one wire that they're sticks like up and they've got like rubber tips on them.
Coat hangers.
Yeah, they look like coat hangers. Right. They've got like little divots in them and they're different sizes. It's totally cool. And it basically like would make a little sculpture. You could just build it into a sculpture on your desk to leave there while you're not playing it.
Which would also just as it becomes a desk toy.
It's fun.
I've always had desk toys.
You can play
it
solo. Yeah. Right. Any dexterity game, really, you can pretty much play solo.
Yeah. I have dice on my desk at all times. I fiddle with them. I have desk toys all over my desk. I also have a stack of board games on my desk. Yeah, okay, fine. I might not be the most normal person. My day job has nothing to do with board games.
What was the Kickstarter we were just looking at? Builder.
Yeah.
Those pieces would be so much fun just to have out on your... You didn't see this, Josh.
No.
So it's this game, and it's a guessing game, like charades, but instead of using your body, you have all these like wooden pieces, like meeple bits of all different shapes and sizes and configurations. So there's little people and triangles, and you're trying to show rockets taking off. So everyone in an office should go back this on Kickstarter because it looks totally cool.
Yep.
And it would be really fun to have some of the fun pieces sitting out on your desk to
What is the game that I always forget? This is just this is the episode. Name this game. It's the white box and you're trying to place things and get people to guess words. It starts with a C. It's like...
Concept?
Concept, yes. So it's a very similar concept to concept where you're trying to get somebody to guess a word. But concept is actually a really good office game as well because it's one of those games you can play... Bring a big group of
people
into.
Pretty much as many people as can see the board can be playing the game.
Yep.
There's only one clue giver, but everyone can be guessers. And it's kind of in the party game of you don't really need to keep score. It's the fun part is the playing, not the scorekeeping or winning. So.
Yep. So I talked about the D&D. Now I'm talking about we have two game nights at work. Right now. So we have Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. And then on the alternate weeks, we do every other Thursday. So that's four nights a month. That's all right. It's one night a week. One night a week. I only do the Wednesday ones. So on Wednesday, or usually the day before Wednesday or Monday of that week, I'd be like, okay, this is the game I'm thinking about for Wednesday. Who's in? And the way I do that is that we use Slack at work. And that allows me to say, you know, okay, this person is in the game. Great. As long as we have enough players, we meet. No matter what. It could be two people if the game supports two people. It can be five, seven, whatever if it supports more. All we're doing is just making sure there's enough people to play the game. On Thursdays, there's another guy at work, and he will do the exact same thing on those. Like, this is the game we're going to play. Who's in? And by being consistent with that, recommending a game... And who's going to be in to play that game, we're able to actually create like momentum and keep it going. Does it happen every single Wednesday or every other Wednesday that the same people show up? No, but there is a core group of people. There's usually two or three of us that are there every time. And then when other people are there, it doesn't feel like they're invading our personal time. It just feels like they're coming in for that game night. And I think that that's worked out pretty successfully. It's still a lot of hard work, though. Well, not hard work, but it's still a lot of work.
It's fun work.
It's fun work. To make sure that people know where you're at, what you're going to do, how to play the game. So if somebody wants to like, oh, I haven't played this game. Oh, here's this video. Or don't worry, I can teach you in 10 minutes and you'll know how to play.
Right.
So the first one I did this was with Seven Wonders. Because for the longest time, I didn't think I liked Seven Wonders. And then I played it at CMON Con, and then I determined, like, oh, wow, I really do like Seven Wonders, and it's super easy to teach, and it plays really fast.
It's a fun game, and I was very surprised when you said you didn't like it.
Now I'm surprised myself. Yeah. So this was my first game where this is what I kicked it off. I'm like, we're going to play Seven Wonders. Plays
I like
up to seven
the
people.
Blue cards.
Yeah. Science.
That's
science.
My strategy.
Yeah. And... people showed up and we had more people than we could play. So there was a couple people that just kind of sat at the table. They were doing some work, but they were, you know, again, pizza and beer. So they were just like in the group with us. There was one game where it's like, okay, there's eight of us. I will sit out and I'll just like teach the game and like run it for the seven people that are there. Like I say, we played Viticulture. Of course, I've had a couple breaks where it's like we had conventions and traveling and all of that. But I brought in a Kickstarter game to play called Renegade. That was really confusing at first, but I had some hardcore people there that were willing to learn the game.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've heard this review yet.
I should do the review. Is we should play it upcoming? First, though.
Okay. Yeah,
we should play it first because I want to start doing the reviews with you of games you've played.
Oh, that's so much work.
I know. Well, that's all right. You'll love
we
it.
We live so far away now.
Oh. It takes me an hour and a half to get here.
Yeah. So far away.
I know.
But we used to live dedicated. One flight of stairs away.
Josh, you don't care about work games, do you?
Well, I would do. It's just not happened for me yet, you know? It's just not been the right time. But hey, it might happen.
You have a new office.
I do.
New job.
And my boss is really into games. He was very excited when he heard about the podcast. So who knows? Maybe even listens. Hi, Matt.
So tell me what you're going to do. To start a game.
I'm going to start slow because I'm still fairly new. So I'm going to maybe put Jenga on my desk to start with. I recommend
looking up Suspend because it's less clattery noisy. When it falls.
Really? Less clattery?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I would have thought metal would be fairly...
They have like rubber coating kind of on the especially where it would be clattery bits.
Okay, that's fine.
But you do whatever you need to do.
Yes.
So you're going to start with Jenga.
And maybe I'll get a copy of Santorini and put that on the desk as well.
That I think we can get behind.
That's, yeah, and Santorini, that's like the next level.
And you could like build a little cool looking city when you're not playing Santorini. And it would look so nice. It would just be like, oh, I'm taking a peaceful break in the Mediterranean while I sit and stare at nothing.
And then I'll start putting all my Tabletop Game Talk business cards like up against my cube so that people see immediately Tabletop Game Talk. What's this? This is amazing. And I'll be like, yeah, it is. Listen.
So Matt, that's your boss, right?
Yep.
He likes games. What is he? Yeah. Has he brought up games or is he?
Well, we were having a drink once and he just said he's really into games. He was like, oh, well, that's super exciting. I'll have to listen sometime. And I was like, well, you know, start episode 4. We're a bit. He was like, no, I love it when podcasts are just getting going and, you know, I want to hear this. So I don't know if he actually got around to it.
You didn't even ask him what game he likes? Like a game?
Yeah, I probably did. It's been a while. It's been a month or two since he mentioned it. So
it's like a door was opened for you and like, oh, look, there's something behind that door. I'll just look over this other direction instead.
Yeah,
not everyone is you, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. All right. But this is my final advice. If somebody, especially your boss, says, oh, yeah, I like games, you ask, oh, what's some of your favorite games? And then you go and watch them on YouTube and learn to play them.
All right, fine. I'll make it happen.
I'm just saying.
No, it's a really good idea. I'm, you know, shocked I didn't think of it myself.
I'm really excited for Chris's Gaming at Work self-help book. It's going to be great.
Management through board games. Ooh, that could actually sell.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Because you need more things on your plate.
I don't. I have enough things on my plate. All right. Do we have anything else to say about gaming at work?
Do you. I'm good. This was your topic.
Well, now it's off the list.
All right.
So, well, next week is going to be easy because next week is Gen Con.
Hooray!
So we're doing a live show, Gen Con. That's 4 days from now.
Chris is going to be giving away loads of games.
So if you're at Gen Con, Friday, 5 o'clock, find us. There's a link in the show notes that gives you all the information. There will be a ton of things I'm giving away. So be there. Kitty's coming out special. Josh is
the whole family
out.
Will be there. Except the dog.
Not the dog.
No, not the dog.
Let's see. We'll probably have announcements of cool things because it's Gen Con and you should announce cool things at Gen Con. Last year you announced a kid.
Yeah. And now he's a real kid. He'll be there in the audience.
He can bounce around, say hello. Maybe we'll get a question from him.
He has a lot to say.
Yeah. He loves Jenga.
I'm sure he would.
We should get him some Jenga. Oh, feedback episodes. We are doing feedback episodes, so we want your feedback. And until we have good feedback, I'm going to keep offering bribery. So email us at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com. Josh will repeat all of this when he reads his section. And we will randomly choose one of those people to win a $25 gift card to either Amazon or Cool Stuff Inc. This is to get all of our international backers kind of involved in our giveaways. And we don't have to use your feedback. As long as you email us at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com, you will be entered for a random drawing that we will do on our feedback episodes. When do those happen? Periodically. Whenever we want to do them. When we have enough feedback where
we feel like it.
Yeah, you can't stop us.
The world is going upside down. We're just going to have all kinds of feedback times. But not more than 3. I think we are going to do 3 normal episodes before we do a feedback episode at minimum. And probably not more than 5, because otherwise the subject gets too old. All right. I think that is enough of the... That was our outro announcement things. That's good, right?
Yep.
Okay. So
now you read.
Now I read again. Okay. So no, this part I can do almost from heart. So follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast. You can follow us at Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. Kitty is Lawful Good Mom. Josh is Blonde. I'm Game Master Chris. All of that is on Twitter. You can also please leave us an iTunes review because we love those. And if you want to support us because you don't want to leave an iTunes review because you're shy, but you want to give us a dollar or so, you can go to tabletopgametalk.com/Patreon.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback, so email us with comments and questions about today's topic at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com, and you'll be entered into a $25 gift card drawing on our next feedback episode.
I promise this is the last time that'll be duplicated. I just want to make sure that I drill that home. And finally, a huge thank you to our Patreons, Emil Jojem, George, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, the SDG, Sam from New York, Jason Strong, Terrence Miltner, Stephen Seitz, Michael Old, Trevor Olson, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, Daniel Shepard, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Hong,
Stefan Dobronotz Phillips,
Caleb O'Brien, Jennifer Engelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, Kyle Hammond, David Radke, Lance Morgan, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Lum, Phil Swartzel, Jordan Livingston, Greg Kamai, Zoe Ng,
Chad Covey, Anne Reynolds, Eric Huffman, Adriana Dong, Christopher Vincent, Nate Baz Flintham, Sean Peck, Toby Croft, Eric Solander, Adam Kribles, Mike Smith, Christine Mayer, Trevor Davis, Wesley Taylor, Tim Verning, and Chris Lowe.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun. All right, I can't wait till Gen Con.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be cool.
The whole VIP thing. Oh, I don't know if I've ever. Well, all right, so the VIP thing, we're an hour earlier on Thursday.
Wow. Yes, you have told us about this before.
I just think it's.
I know.
Right. I'm excited.
You're can't really excited.
I was so excited that it didn't actually get us any kind of media badges, so you guys had to all pay for your own badges. Sorry about that.
Luckily, we have Patreon. Patrons. Yeah.
Next year, you can handle that.
I will.